The book of Romans, chapter 12. We'll start at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. May the Lord bless to our hearts this morning the reading of His own precious Word. Please, let's bow for a moment's prayer, asking for the help of God in the ministry of His Word. And just as we do, still our hearts to pray, ask the Lord just now that He would take His Word and speak specifically to your heart, that He will write His truth upon your mind as we come to look at it today. Gracious Father, as we continue in Thy presence, we rejoice and are filled with thanksgiving for the opportunity we have of being once more in the house of God, the place of prayer, with the people of the Lord. And we have the precious Word of God open before us. We are thankful for the Scriptures we have in our own language. We are thankful, O God, for the precious promise that the Holy Spirit will take the things of God and write them upon our hearts, that He will take the Scriptures and reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is His great work and purpose. And Lord, we ask today that there would be nothing in our minds that would take away from us receiving this Word today. Help us to mix the Word with faith, that we might grow thereby. Lord, we acknowledge our own weakness. We acknowledge our own lack of ability to draw from the Bible, from the Word of God, unless we have the help of God. So, Lord, come today and just minister to our souls. Speak to us that we might realize where we need to have a word of rebuke, perhaps, a word of correction, a word of encouragement, a word to challenge us along the course and pathway of our life. Lord, hear our prayer this day. Fill me with Thy Spirit, I ask, and do not allow anyone to leave this service today not fully understanding what is being spoken. Do not let anyone leave confused. Lord, we pray that anyone who does not know the Savior would leave knowing that they have been changed by the power of God, having received Christ as their own Lord and Savior. Bless us now this day. Continue with us, we pray, in our Savior's precious name. Amen. For any who are here this morning who have not been following with us for the past few weeks, we have been doing a study on the subject of stewardship for the life of a Christian. This is a most essential ministry and subject to think upon, because the whole life of the Christian is subject to the evaluation of God. And how we behave ourselves as God's people is absolutely essential, because one day we will be required to give an account of our stewardship before God. To begin with, we notice that though Adam had lost his stewardship because of his own sin, Christ regained that for us. And we stand today as justified. That's the standing of our stewardship. The position of our stewardship is in the will of God, for we desire to honor and to follow and to serve God and to do His will each day. The essence of stewardship is faithfulness. That is really at the heart, because we desire and know that as we are faithful unto God, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Today I want to look at the subject of the fruit of stewardship, giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves. Remember that a steward is one in charge of the possessions or the property of another. And the basic idea of Christian stewardship is that God is the sovereign owner over all that He has and that He possesses, and that He has given into our hands possessions, and He expects us to manage those possessions and to trust Him, and indeed to give back to Him that which He has faithfully given to us, so that we might administer this to the glory and the extension of His kingdom. And once more we're confronted with the greatest expression of the giving of oneself when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul told the Corinthians that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And again in Galatians he said, who gave himself, speaking of Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Paul went on to say that Christ was crucified for him. And that he said, now I live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. The call of God to his disciples was a call that was to follow the example of the Savior in the surrender of our lives to the will and to the purpose of God in His great plan for us, and to be set apart, or the word is to be sanctified, in the work and purpose of the Lord, and that we might bear fruit, that we might be faithful unto the service and work of Christ, willing in our hearts to give ourselves without reservation to His work. This, my friend, is the ideal. The question is, where do we fit in to this ideal? Without doubt, every Christian gives himself to a point. But at what point do you give yourself? And to what degree do you surrender yourself in this aspect of stewardship? The famous missionary David Livingstone said regarding sacrifices that he and other missionaries were credited with, he could never call them sacrifices because nothing could be worthy of that name in the service of Him who, though He was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. Two or three times every day as he was in the jungle, he was wet up to his waist and crossing streams and marshy ground. The rain was so drenching that he had to put his watch under his arm so that it would not become soaked with water. All he had at night to sleep on was the grass and a simple blanket. He ate bird seed, manioc roots and meal. And on one other occasion, when he was speaking to a society in London, he said, when he was talking about this idea of sacrifice, he said, I have not made any sacrifice. I have not given up anything that I might serve the Lord, because I count it a privilege. I count it a blessing to have an opportunity to serve the Lord. That was the mindset of the great missionary who went and covered thousands of miles, 23,000 miles specifically in Africa, seeking and searching out to bring the gospel to people. In light of this, the correct reflection, the Spirit of God that the Apostle Paul stressed to the Roman Christians, we have read it in Romans chapter 12. And I want to use verse 1 as my text this morning, and I want us to think again of what Paul said. Is it not a reasonable thing for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, to give ourselves willingly in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think first of all with me today of the giving of the inner man. The giving of the inner man. The term in the Bible, the inner man, is expressed by the soul, the heart, the mind, the will, the conscience, and our emotions. How these aspects of the inner man relate to each other is a mystery. It's part of the mystery of mankind being self-knowing. We as God's creation and creatures are the only ones who are self-knowing apart from the angels, but upon the economy of earth, animals are not self-knowing creatures. But a man can reason, I am a man. I know who I am. And this aspect of the soul or the inner self is the most valuable possession that any person has. For Jesus Christ posed the question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The most valuable possession that you and I have is our soul. And therefore, it is incumbent upon us to look very carefully to that possession which God has given to us and to see how we are giving the inner man in our stewardship back to God. Our mind is sometimes called the measure of the man. It's separated into different categories: the intellect, the feelings, the will. If we think about the intellect, it has varied powers of perception, of memory, imagination, conception, judgment, and reason. Because stewardship is all about management, it is vital that each of us look diligently to this matter. The matter of the mind and how our mind has to be guarded and guided in the correct direction. It will be helpful that when we talk about the giving of self, we also think about what is restrained from our mind and thoughts and the idea of restraining. For Paul puts this in very close relation in our text in verse 1. For he says that it is our reasonable service by the mercies of God that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But then he goes on in verse 2 to say, and be not conformed to this world. So there was a positive aspect of us giving our bodies, but there is also the negative aspect of being not conformed, but rather transforming our mind by the renewing of our spirit day by day. This is the area that demands, my friends, our closest attention. It must be overseen. It must be ruled or subdued, would be a better word perhaps. For the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart, out of this center of man, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. When Adam fell into his sin, that fall brought great corruption, and it infected his mind, and it caused the mind to produce the most polluted ideas. And then with the will joining together with the mind, then it turned evil thoughts into wicked deeds. But when Christ comes into our life, we are given a new nature. We are given the divine nature. So that no longer are we controlled by evil thoughts, but rather we are controlled and given over to the operation of the Holy Spirit in us. And yet still we face the struggle day by day of subduing the old man, the old part of us, which must be done on a daily basis. For the apostle said, I die daily. I must put to death daily the old man. Because if we do not control the heart, the soul, the mind, and the thinking, then it will indeed control us and lead us in a pathway that is not right. Paul said, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," our body is dying, "though our outward man perish, yet the inward man," or the new man, "is renewed day by day." It is an action of the new man to put down the old. It is in the thoughts of the mind, and this is the place, my friends, where the battle rages. We have to beware of unrestrained or of wandering thoughts of the mind. Because if we allow our mind to become unattended, it's just like a garden left unattended for any period of time. For the weeds will grow up and take over. And human nature has a bent toward evil. We know that. Some plants flourish in the darkness. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Things that start out very innocently in the lives of people can turn into things that are most degrading. Sometimes in school we have to deal with young people who pass notes back and forth in the class. Sometimes the notes start out very innocently. But we have found it time and time again that as that continues, eventually someone suggests something on the note that is not quite right. And the next person will go a little bit farther. And before long, you'll find that things are written on notes that are most impure. Evil thoughts that have been allowed to generate and grow, and they flourish. My friends, it's the same, if not worse, when we're dealing with the computer and the internet. Young people communicating back and forth. Parents, beware. We've warned you before, but it's worthwhile thinking of it again. MSN and ICQ and these other forms of communication which give an anonymity to people when they're only talking or writing to a screen. They don't see a person and they don't hear their voice. Therefore, the temptation is to step over the boundary of purity. And we have found it. It has repeated itself time and time again. This is where young people will get themselves into trouble. And so we warn parents earnestly. For the Apostle Paul knew this, for he said to Timothy, "Flee youthful lusts. Depart from those things and those areas where there is a possibility of temptation where we can fall. For the mind has got to be guarded. It has got to be reinforced." The Lord said to Jeremiah, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him?" Sometimes we feel that when we're alone, when no one else is going to be observing what we're doing, that neither is the eye of God observing us. But my friend, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, and He sees all that we do, and He hears everything that we say. We are bought with a price, the price of the redemption of Christ. We are not our own. We have been purchased by Him. And therefore, Paul says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. In your spirit, glorify God. In the inner thoughts of your heart and mind, glorify God. And do not allow yourself to be open to the temptation. You see, we are responsible to God for the mastery of ourselves. And the ultimate expression of self-control will be the subduing of our mind and the overcoming of evil thoughts, which is where sin finds its root. It produces the fruit of evil thoughts and evil acts in our life. But the whole question comes to us, how do I gain this self-control? It is the gaining of the greatest victory on the greatest battlefield of life. For the Lord says, he that ruleth his spirit is better than a person who takes and rules a city. Ruling your own heart is a greater challenge. The Savior gives us the answer for this quest, for He tells us in John 15, "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you." See, that's the connection. We must be joined into Christ. We must draw from Him all the energy, the nutrient, the blessings, and the power in order to overcome. For He said, "Without Me ye can do nothing." Our dependence upon the Lord is going to be our victory over the evil thoughts and victory over our minds. We have a clear command that we are not to be conformed to this world. We are not, my friend, to entertain sin in our minds, but we must deal mercilessly with temptations and wicked thoughts that would come into our hearts and would lead us to dishonoring our Lord and bringing shame upon His testimony. Oftentimes we emphasize that young people have to beware of the use of the internet and of television and so on. And our focus is upon youth. But I would say a word of warning to every adult here. For every person that utilizes these means of getting information, beware. Do not allow yourself the momentary thought of utilizing the internet for anything else than but holy and righteous purposes. For the flick of a button and a switch could lead you down a pathway where your soul will be grieved and your heart will be burned and those images etched upon your heart, and then you will go for years trying to overcome those thoughts. And the television likewise. Adults need to be very, very careful that medium is not at all abused, my friend. An oak tree may grow for 75 to 100 years, become exceedingly strong, its branches going out and stretching far, and able to suffer the attacks of fierce winds, and endure the coldness of a fierce Canadian winter. But I tell you, in 2 minutes, a chainsaw can bring that tree down. That monster, that huge structure that has served so many years. And sin is like a chainsaw to our lives, and in a very short time, we can be cut down, and shame can be brought upon the gospel. We need to beware. That's why the Apostle Paul warned. He said, "Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Because if we do not monitor and gauge and restrain our thoughts, thoughts can be allowed to wander. That's why the Apostle also said to think on noble things. Philippians 4 verse 8. Things that are pure and wholesome and have a good report connected to them. Dwell and think and meditate upon these things. Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Let His mind dwell in us richly with all wisdom. So when we think about giving of ourselves and of giving of the inner man, we must watch the mind very carefully and utilize our minds for the glory of God. But we also have to think of the inner man. We deal with emotions and feelings. It's sometimes hard to understand that these things can come under the control and be used of in the stewardship of the whole personality. But God has given us the capacity to feel, and He constantly appeals to us for our love. And I would say to you that right thoughts, controlling our minds, right thoughts will make right feelings. And if you leave yourself open to respond at the moment by your feelings, quite likely you're going to make a wrong decision. Your feelings will be motivated by a wrong thought. Therefore, it is when we are in fellowship and in communion with God that we must pray for the subduing of our emotions and the utilization of our emotions, because if we think correctly, we shall have the correct feelings. The choice of will, of making and thinking thoughts that are pure and of stirring up these feelings inside us. Christ ruling in our lives can cleanse, and He can make healthy and holy our whole emotional life. Are you ever troubled with worry? Are you ever troubled with bitterness? Are you ever troubled with hate and these feelings that are very much a part of our emotional makeup? My friend, if your thought processes are correct in glorifying God, then your feelings will also be overseen by the Lord. We know when there are feelings in us that are not right, but under the Lord's leadership, we must refuse to give over to unworthy emotions, and to keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon Jehovah. I was thinking of that hymn, "Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest." And so as we are stayed upon the Lord, stayed upon our Savior, we will find that we're able to take our hearts and to give our hearts over unto Him. So we have the mind, we have the emotion, but we also have our will, the giving of our wills unto God. This is the hardest of all to realize, is the stewardship of our wills. This is the center of our personality, or as one writer put it, it is the citadel of the town of Mansoul. Perhaps one of the most pressing challenges we will have to make is a complete submission of our will unto God, because our inner desire wants to go in the way of our flesh. It's something that has to be battled against continually. But to surrender our will and to say, "Lord, I want my will to go in Your direction, in the way that pleases You." This takes years of growth and development in the life of a Christian. And there will be many trials and many failures. And yet as we progress in Christ, we find the more that we submit our will to His Word, the more we are resigned to fulfill His purpose and to continue on the road that He would have us go on. One commentator put it this way: the noblest purpose of life, the freest action of our wills, is found when we make life a constant endeavor to do God's will and fulfill His purposes. Friend, where do you sit today in your own heart? Are you resisting God's will? Are you saying, "I will give so much, but I will not give everything"? Until we come to that position of the stewardship that we know is God's part of our life, and of giving of ourself, of giving of the inner man, we will not know that true peace and happiness and contentment in our life, but there'll be that continual struggling and fighting against God and against His way. Then secondly, I want you to think with me of the giving of the outward man. The term "to glorify God in your body," as Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, presents the underlying precept that is to govern our thinking and our behavior in every single Christian. Now we know that physically our bodies are composed of elements that have been identified by science, most of which is water. And that the common expression of returning to the dust of the ground is the conclusion of the body of this outward man at death. where the body will return to the grave. And yet Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6 that these bodies that are simply temples to hold our spirits, these bodies are holy unto the Lord. These bodies are to be sanctified along with the Spirit. For these bodies are more than just clay and dust. These bodies are temples whereby the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in us. And therefore, we are not to defile our bodies and thereby grieve the Holy Spirit. We must strive to have not only the healthiest development of our physical house by observing the laws of life and of nature, but we must understand the sacredness of God's ownership and the fact that we are stewards to oversee and to take care of giving back unto God for the purposes of the extension of His kingdom. The book of Romans tells us that we are to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, and to make our bodies a suitable vehicle for the expression of the mind and of the soul unto God. The Lord Jesus reminded His followers that the greatness in His kingdom was evidenced by an action of serving others and of giving ourselves with a loving spirit, of utilizing our bodies not for selfish gain, but for the extension of His kingdom and helping others in the Spirit of Christ. This giving starts with a surrender of our life, our body. In conclusion this morning, conduct creates character in us. We must give account of our stewardship, each one, to God, of all these serious matters. Following Christ and understanding that we live in Him and we shall keep our bodies pure and sound, our minds shall be clear and alert, we shall be loyal to the truth of the Word of God, and our hearts will be pure in motive. We shall love the Lord with our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Our life is to be lived, and we are to have joy in the Lord, and our talents that He has given to us are to be invested in the service of the Lord and rendered in the light of Christ and our relationship to Him. And God wants that glad service from us daily. He wants us to follow after Him and to seek after that highest form of stewardship, and He has promised to give us His strength. He has promised to sustain us. And the Lord has said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and follow after, willingly surrendering to Him. Render account of thy stewardship. Render account of thy stewardship. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that with the great blessings that we have received from the hand of God, guard our minds, we pray. Guard our emotions. Guard our feelings. Guard, we pray, our wills. And give to us such an openness of heart and a desire to see these bodies that have been given to us sanctified and meet for the masters you set apart for the glory of Christ. Dear Father, help us, we pray, in the weakness of our own flesh, to not allow the flesh to overcome us, but rather let us be overcomers and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hear our prayer this day. Bless us, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.